Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. With an extensive background in both music and programming, Sika Toy is one of the most raved about music producers of the moment. The European artist has since developed a truly unique sound, bringing a distinctive flavor of Arabic club sounds with heavy bass lines and piercing beats, with which he has already accomplished several chart toppers. Sika Toy creates a profound feel to each and every track he works on, resulting in many successful collaborations with an array of well-known international artists, including Pitbull, Inna, and many more. Besides his enumeration of successful national and international collaborations, Sika Toy is also the winner of a Grammy for the Best Latin Rock and Urban Alternative Album, obtained through his collaboration with Pitbull, Mohambi, and Wisson for Baddest Girl in Town. Also releasing his own productions, Sika Toy released his debut track Addicted, featuring Minnelli, which had amazing success as the song ranked number one in Shazam Romania and conquered local airplay charts. With many more successful releases and collaborations racking up over 100 million streams across his discography, Sika Toy has penetrated radios internationally, topping Romanian airplay charts and conquering digital charts and listeners worldwide with his productions. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Sika Toy. Where do we find you in the world? How are you doing and what's happening in your life?
Thank you so much for inviting me to the podcast. In the world, like geographically,
yes,
I'm based in Romania right now, but I travel a lot around the world. So I probably travel maybe 30-40% of the time out of the country.
Okay.
And on the internet, of course, because that's the second world for us. I'm on Spotify, on Sika Toy. I have my YouTube channel, TikTok, but like mostly I'm posting music there. So Instagram, I have my producer profile, that's Alex Kotoy, and my artist profile, Sika Toy, and yeah.
Why did you choose the name Sika Toy? Where does that come from?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because I woke up in the morning with that. it actually comes from my name, because my name is Alex Kotoy. So if you hear it, it's like Kotoy, but I was thinking how to incorporate my name in a cool kind of name. Yep. And I'm thinking like my music is pretty, I don't know how to say it. It's like a toy, like gimmicky kind of vibe, but in a sick way, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like Sika Toy, is like the weird toy, you know.
Yeah.
It's not anything sexual about it, but like it's.
No. I get it. Now let's rewind. Let's all go all the way back to the beginning. So whatever age that might be, whether it was as a child, as a teenager. At what age did you decide, cool, I want to be in the entertainment world or create music? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I would have preferred to say that it started in the womb, but it actually started in the high school. I was always passionate about music, maybe since like 10, 12 years. I like played a little bit of piano, keyboard, stuff like that, but mostly like playful. Not in a serious way.
Yep.
But in high school, I started playing guitar a lot and I really loved it. And I was like into rock bands, into like Metallica, Nirvana. I started being very passionate about music and thinking about doing a career in music. So actually the first, I don't know, maybe eight years actually, I was a live musician.
Okay.
And I played guitar with lots of bands. I toured around Europe and stuff like that. And afterwards, I just like fell in love with actually the process of making music. And I started producing. I think my first song that was produced was in 2009. So it's probably, I don't know how many years, like 14 years.
Yep. What bands did you play and what genre of music did you play guitar when you were performing live?
The first band I had when I was in high school was a rock band, kind of like Led Zeppelin vibes, maybe Iron Maiden, stuff like that, like heavy metal. But afterwards, I started touring more professionally, and I played also like in jazz bands. I played with a big band. I played in an orchestra at one point. And then I played with this was a famous Romanian group back then called Morandi. They were actually like a dance group, but they incorporated like live elements to their sound. So like besides synths and stuff like that, we also had live drums and guitar and stuff like that. So with this band, actually, I toured a lot in Europe, in like Greece, Turkey, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, I don't know, Slovakia, Russia, Ukraine, everywhere. From this band, I actually became more interested in the way of making music, because like I recorded lots of guitars for the actually songs that came out.
So now you've played with different jazz, rock, heavy metal, dance. What is the difference creating music or being part of music in those different genres? And obviously, you're now more in the dance world, but what was it like transitioning from jazz to orchestra to heavy metal? Was it easy transitions doing those different types of genres? Or did you have to put your mind into it and say, okay, cool, I was doing this type, now I'm doing this type?
Yeah, I think for sure when you like switch something or like it gets challenging in a way, and you have to like to focus your mind on how that genre works or like how that style works. But for me, and maybe that's why it helped me also in the near future, like for creating music. I mean, like it doesn't depend on the style, but the energy is the same. So even if you're in a jazz band, because people think on when they think of like a jazz band, they think of something mellow or like chill. But actually, there are some jazz songs with like lots of energy and like quick improvisations and mind thinking on that, and like they are really like hectic. Back in the 70s, like lots of jazz musicians were on like some high stuff. The only thing that transitioned from style to style was the energy level, the mood, the state of mind, the feeling, everything, you know? So, and I think music is about that anyway, even for the listener and also for the ones that create the music or like they play the music.
When you're listening to music by other artists, are you able to relax and just listen and chill to the music? Or is your creative brain and technical brain unpacking everything that the other artist has done?
Of course, that's a side thing that came up with doing lots of music, because like most of the time, like 99% of the time, you're in the creative, you're in the like technical kind of mind, and you're like thinking about the creative process element and stuff like that. But from time to time, there are some songs that pass through that filter. So gets like straight to my soul, to my emotion. When I feel that, I'm still enjoying the state, the mood of the music.
Am I correct in understanding that you feel music? Because I'm not sure if you're aware. So there's NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. So people process information differently, and part of that is music. So people, they either see pictures or create pictures, or they hear, or it's about the feeling. So when it comes to music, they create a picture around the music, they hear the words or the audio of the music, or they create a feeling. So based on what you just said, am I correct in understanding that you are a person that's kinesthetic when it comes to music and it's around the emotion and the feeling?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I mean, like, it's a mix. It's definitely a mix of things when you like create, because you also need to know how to use the tools for that. So using the tools kind of gets you out of the emotional side of it. But when you do it and get to like the core of your feeling, then it's the tools are just like a means of getting into that state, that emotion. Definitely, I think music, it's about feeling. And it's so weird because I actually from maybe since the last couple of years, so like when I created music, I wasn't paying that enough attention to the lyrics.
Okay.
I paid attention to the melody, to the feeling of the melody, of the instrumental, the production and everything. But the lyrics, I got every time I got the idea, I got what they are talking about, what's about with the lyrics, but never get into the emotion side of it.
Yeah.
And I since the last two or 3 years, I started to grow more on the lyrics, you know? But
Okay.
usually that this happens when something else happens in your life. So it gets correlated when you're deeply touched, emotional in your real life, then you relate more to the words.
You released your first single in 2009. So was that as an artist or as a producer for another
No,
artist?
that was a production for another artist.
So when did you start releasing your own music?
I had in 2010, 2011, I was part of a band called Sonic House. And then we created our own music and we released our own music as an artist, as an independent artist. Back then it was MySpace and stuff like that. It was very interesting. Afterwards, we broke up with the band. Everyone got on their different ways. But I focused more on producing for other artists till 2019 when I started Sikotoi.
So we're going to go back to Sikotoy in a moment. So let's unpack your production for other artists. What is that process? Is it just a process of they reaching out to me or you reach out to them or a combination of both? How is that process? What is your production hat?
In the beginning was I tried to reach the artist because nobody knew about me. Of course, it's a thing of reaching artists, reaching labels, sending songs to A&Rs, trying to make something out of it. And afterwards, when songs start to work and they get hits or airplays and stuff like that, more and more artists want to work with you. So it's a mix of both things still.
So when you're producing for an artist, for another artist, how do you approach that? What is your strategy? Is it different every time or is it always the same?
As the rate of success of success, I felt like maybe 90% of the time when you think of doing a song for an artist, for a specific artist, it will not work.
Why do you say that?
I don't know, it's kind of a weird dynamic because when you think of a specific artist, subconsciously you limit the song a lot. So your song starts to get boundaries, limits. But I think the best way to approach this is to serve the song first. Go in the room, even if it's with the artist or without, just do a great song. And afterwards it will fit for a
Yeah.
specific kind of artist. But if you think more of the artist and less of the song, it kind of gets blurry. And
Okay.
it's just a matter of fact. I feel like every time when you think about, let's do a song for this artist, even for my project, if I'm thinking of doing a song for my project, it's usually I get lots of more limits than actually thinking about a good song. And then I'll drag it into my sound.
Your creative process, when you're creating stuff for yourself, what is that process for you? Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it?
So let's say like that. Like the base point is I'm organizing sessions for my project. So I am just reserve myself, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks where I start working on with different people, different songwriters, and building a collection of ideas from where to start about. Then afterwards, I'm listening and I pick the ones that I feel are the best. And I'm producing them in my area, or I work more on them. Also, it can be, but this is more of a not the typical way. I can have an idea one time in the morning and start that, even if it's a beat, or if I think of a sample or think of something, I'm just getting that idea through just to have it. But usually the process is like doing sessions.
And
And I usually prefer to be in that session.
and if an idea is taking long period of time, maybe a few months, even over a year, do you sometimes say, okay, let it go? Do you bring it into through to another idea?
Usually I don't let me sink too much into a specific idea. I usually leave space and time between them. I can work maybe on 7, 8, 10 ideas at a time. So if I'm feeling like I'm stuck, if I feel like I'm stuck in a certain idea, I just let it go for, I don't know, a month maybe, or like
Okay.
2 months. And afterwards, when I listen, it's like a fresh song. It's a new song. Then your brain starts to like think, oh, it was that simple. Like I could have done that and that's it. Mostly probably many of us do it like that.
It's often when people are thinking about something and they can't remember and they can't remember. The minute they stop thinking about it or trying to remember it, then they're like, ah, that's it. The same
Exactly,
scenario.
exactly. Leave a bit of the ice cream in the freezer, you know, just for...
to freeze it up a bit and then let it melt.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. That is super cool. So
yeah.
I love me a CD. I still buy my CDs. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding something. I love the pages, the artwork. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to the artists for all the hard work that you guys put into creating music. I'm not sure if you're aware, CDs, vinyls, cassettes, they're all making a comeback. For example, last year in the UK alone, there were 5.5 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. But we've also got these digital platforms. What is your perceptions of the physical versus the digital? Do you prefer either or? And let's unpack what your perceptions and of the consumption of music is.
So, as a matter of fact, actually, 2 months ago, I probably bought like 20 vinyls. I'm more of that guy. I'm an old school guy on this type of matter. And I also feel like it's important to have the connection with the artist and to like feel rewarded by the artist in that way. It's like a special thank you for that.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the whole industry with all those like digital platforms and the streaming services, maybe it will sound rough, but I feel like they made music cheaper. Cheaper in the sense of like unappreciated in a way.
Yep.
It's too much volume. So it's a lot of volume. And I don't know, back in the day, I was like super excited to go to the store, grab an album, put in the CD or the cassette or like in the vinyl, listen to the, I don't know, 45 minutes, 1 hour of the album, and be amazed about the music, right? Now, I don't know what artists puts out an EP or like an album and you go just in the morning on the toilet or in the treadmill, you listen to the album. I don't think that's really fun, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the whole experience. Like you said, going to the store, going onto Amazon, whatever, choosing, cool, this is my budget for the month. I can choose these two or three. I'm choosing those, waiting in the post, going to the store, unwrapping, going through the pictures, reading the thank yous. That's where it's that whole experience and whole journey of having that, which a lot of people don't have anymore because it's like, oh, here's a song. Let's just skip. Oh, here's another song. Let's just skip.
And also it's about, I don't know, in a way, like the mythology of music, you know? Because I felt artists, like especially big artists, should inspire people. So when you inspire lots of people, you become like an idol to them, which I think it was kind of cool. Nowadays, also with TikTok and everything, it's so weird. Like artists have to like put their I don't know, 10 ideas before just to have the feedback of the audience.
Yes,
it's more in the way that the audience controls the artist, not the
yes.
artist controls their feelings and exposed to the audience. So I think we miss that. That's also in a way of my like cheap kind of doing music right now.
Completely.
I don't want to see James Hetfield of Metallica, how he's like doing, I don't know, barbecue or like.
Yes.
You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm
I mean,
totally
it's
the
fun.
same with you. I'm totally the same. Yes. Absolutely.
And
See ya.
also, I was actually, I had a session and I really appreciated that. And also, I saw the artist did that also. I was in Berlin 3 weeks ago, and for my luck, there were two concerts there. There was a gig with James Hype in
Yeah.
Watergate, and there was a gig with Fred again at Mercedes-Benz Arena. So I got to go to them both, which was crazy because like I was with totally another business there. The thing that I loved about the James Hype gig was the fact that at the entrance in the club, they added stickers to the phones, to the cameras of the phones.
Oh, interesting.
For the first time in the last, I don't know, maybe 5, 6 years, I felt like everybody and the energy in the room was all about the music. Because nobody was watching the show on their phone with the artist in the front, you know? For me, that feels crazy. Very weird, messed up.
So I'm that person always in front, jamming, dancing, doing my thing. I will take one or two photos or videos for Celebs Event, but then I put my phone away. But I see the people around me having their phones out, getting the perfect videos, getting tweeting, posting, whatever they're doing. I was at an event or a concert a few couple of weeks ago, and the person who she loves this person, I'm not mentioning names. So the person was on stage, and the person she was filming herself the whole time singing the songs with this little person in the background on stage. She didn't look at him once on the stage. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
But
exactly. It's
on the receiving end of that, seeing a bunch of phones a lot of time, does that bother you? Does that break the energy? Does that frustrate you? What is your perception of that?
the image looks nice because, like, you see all those lit up phones. Back in the day, they were lighters. So, but I don't agree with that. I
Okay.
don't agree with that for sure. I mean, like, for sure you can make a couple of photos or stuff like that, but you're here. You're there for the music. You're there for the artist. You're there to enjoy yourself, to have the experience. If you're zoning out all the time, doing other stuff, just posting on Instagram, texting WhatsApp, filming the whole concert and watching actually the concert on the phone, not on the actual stage. For me, that's kind of weird. Just watch some concert on YouTube is the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. What do you enjoy about performing live?
Of course, it's a total different experience than the one in the studio, and it's all about the energy and the way you can control the crowd. You get a reaction. You like change the song. You're feeling like you're doing something. You're not having time, you know, when you mix songs. So it's kind of fun. It's fun. I don't feel like I'm working that much when I'm performing. It's more of a fun thing.
And when you're mixing, are you mixing a combination of your original tracks, tracks you've done with other artists, and tracks by other artists, a combination of all
Yeah,
three?
definitely. A combination of all three. And usually also on my songs I'm doing like remixes of those, you know, like I'm doing some mashups, stuff like that, you know, like weird combinations. I mean, it's a DJ, so DJ should be a DJ, you know.
So this leads me to my next question. I love this game. And I understand if I had to ask you this question in 2 days, 2 hours, 2 minutes, I understand that your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists, once we've finished this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Wow.
Yes.
I definitely like now I'm in a, you know, Fred again Skrillex phase. But if I'm gonna go like to my true spirit, I probably play a remix of Nirvana, Smells Like
Yes.
Teen Spirit, Sweet Dreams, but the Marilyn Manson version. Ratata from Skrillex, definitely. Let me think of another one. Prodigy, definitely. Yeah, Prodigy, I would play Voodoo People, that's the one. And I also would play, like I always play that in my sets. I don't know if you know this song, it's called Babylonia.
Who's it by?
Born Again Babylonia, that's the name of the song. Sonny James and Ryan Marciano.
I must look that one up.
Yeah,
Sounds cool.
it's like a very classic back in the day song.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
just to listen music, just to listen to their favorite artists, and enjoy the music as emotionally as possible as they can. And also, like, if they like Sikotoi, just check my Spotify page.
Yeah.